Can please take your Bibles and turn to 2 John. 2 John. Let's read 2 John, starting in verse 1. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as you receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, that which we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as the coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and in ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you. We come here tonight as your church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to worship you due to your greatness, due to your perfection, due to your love, and of course the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. The word that is true, does not change. A word that challenges our lives. The word that changes our lives. I pray this evening you take all distractions from our minds and hearts and learn from your word. And what we learn tonight, may we apply it to our everyday lives, whether it's in the home or at school, in the workplace, amongst friends or at university, that we are ones who love and live out the truth. Please bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scene was set. For 3.5 years, Jesus has been performing his public ministry. He's done many miracles. He's turned water into wine. He's walked on water. He's caused the blind to see. He touched and healed one with leprosy. He loved the ones that the world said were ones you can't love. He ate with tax collectors and with sinners. One day the crowd cheered him as he entered Jerusalem. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But a short time later, the same crowd yelled out, crucify him, crucify him. They bring Jesus to Pilate, demanding, Pilate, you must have this one crucified. And Pilate says, I do not want to do that. He brings Jesus in and asks him a few questions. He asks him these questions. Are you the King of the Jews? He asks him this question. What have you done? Again, he asks the question. Are you a king then? Jesus responds this way in John 18:37. He says, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I shall bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Then Pilate turns around and says to Jesus, "What is truth? What is truth?" Jesus came to testify the truth to the world. He showed that through his actions, through his teaching. He came to teach about God, about sin, about judgment, about eternal life. And here's Pilate. He says, "What is truth?" Nothing has changed in today's world. Many people ask that question, "What is truth?" Some say to me, "There is no absolute truth at all." Others say to me, "A truth cannot be known. A truth is what feels right. My truth and your truth differ, but I have the right to have my own truth." Some say truth is what you make it. The world is asking that question, what is truth? We as Christians know the absolute truth. But Satan, in his plans and schemes, is blinding the world. And the world's crying out and asking that question, what is truth? 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul writes, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the image of God, should shine on them." We as Christians, we have placed our faith in the death, burial and resurrection of Christ. We know the absolute truth. We have God's word that is truth. The church is described as the pillar and support of truth. But what does that mean to us? How does that change our lives? How does it change the church? How does it change you in the workplace? Or as a husband? Or as a wife? Or a mother? Or a father? We know the truth. But do we love the truth? And do we live out the truth? Tonight we're going to look at the book, 2 John. A book that is small in size. 300 words in the Greek text. A letter written by the disciple John. John, who experienced those 3.5 years of the public ministry. John, who was close to Jesus in the inner circle of Peter and James. John, the last apostle, last disciple. One who was not martyred for following Christ, but one who faced many years on the prison island of Patmos. John wrote this letter approximately AD 90 to 95, probably the same time he wrote 1 John. A small book, but a book that encourages people to live and to love the truth. He starts the first verse by saying, "the elder." John was old, but I think it's referring here more as the one who has spiritual oversight. One who has spiritual authority. We see that all through the Old Testament. There were the elders of Israel. New Testament, the elders of the church. And John, who has the authority as a disciple of Christ, describes himself as the elder, the one who has spiritual oversight in this manner. He writes to the elect lady and her children. And there's a lot of discussion. Who is this elect lady? Some say it's a metaphor for the church. Here's John, the one with spiritual oversight, teaching the church about truth. Others believe, which I believe true, it's an actual lady. An actual woman he knew. And her children. A lady he knew well. A lady he spent time with as she showed hospitality to him. She's the elect lady. She's one who is saved, one who knows about salvation, one who knows about God and sin and judgment, one who accepted Jesus as a personal saviour. So here is the Apostle John, spiritual oversight, writing to a lady and her children who he knows very well. Interesting, the word lady, curia, comes from the feminine term for kurios, which means master or lord. We know that lord and master normally in a family context is led to the husband or the father. But also to the women. We read in 1 Timothy 5:14 these words. Therefore, I desire that younger widows marry, bear children, manage or curia the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. This term manage a house means to manage the household affairs. And we assume from this letter she was a widow. We assume there's no husband, so John's writing to her saying, you're the one who has to teach your children. You're the one who has to lead by example. You're the one who needs to understand this letter. John, the one spiritual oversight to the elect lady and her children. And tonight we're going to see the importance of truth. And first, we're going to look at that we must know the truth. We must know the truth. Look at verse 1 and verse 3 again. We must know the truth. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy and peace will be with you. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. We must know the truth. To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Who I sacrificially love in truth. A devotional love. She loves him in truth. As a sister in Christ. As one who is a Christian. As one who's a believer. He says, I love you and your children in truth. But not only I, he says, but also all those who've known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us or remains in us will be with us forever. What's John talking about there? He's talking about the unity we have as Christians. Of course we know the truth. We are united together in truth and in love. It's a love that is special. It's a love that can't be broken. There's one thing to know the truth in your head. One thing to memorize verses, which those things are very important and crucial in everyday lives. But to know the truth is one thing, but to put into practice is another thing. How does someone know you know the truth? How does someone know that you're born again? How does someone know that you believe in Jesus Christ? We can't comprehend the very depths of biblical truth fully. We understand the gospel. We understand that we're sinners. We understand the judgment we would have faced if we didn't believe in Jesus. And John's writing to this lady and says, we as Christians, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we love one another in truth because we know the truth abides or remains in us forever. It's something we can't lose. It's what brings the church together. 1 John 2 says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, through the love of God, is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You know the truth. If you're here tonight as a Christian, you understand and know the truth. He says grace, undeserved favor, mercy, compassion, peace. Peace be with God and with you. From the Lord God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Now I believe many of us here tonight, including myself, we lose the wonder of salvation. Some of us have been saved for a long period of time. Some have been saved for a short period of time. Some mature in Christ, some are not mature in Christ. We know the truth. But after a while, does that start to lose its awe in your life? There's no greater understanding of truth known to mankind, understanding the truth of who God is and His Word. I know my own life, I was grew up in an unsafe family. But for whatever reason, or God working His sovereignty in the background, my mum sent me to Sunday school every single week, a Concord Baptist Church. I went year after year after year, and I was taught God's Word by faithful Sunday school teachers. I didn't believe. I didn't want to understand who God was. I had nothing to do with God at all. But these faithful teachers proclaim God's truth to me week after week after week. I grow older. I leave home at 18 to find the love of this world. I started work at a Commonwealth Bank, and I met a young lady there who is now my wife. Before we started dating, she said to me, "I'm leaving work to go to Bible college." And I thought, this lady's mad. This lady's crazy. Why would you do that? Leave a good paying job to go to a non-paying job to go to Bible college. But she left the work to do that. She invited me to church. I went to impress her to go to church. I went to church and faced the truth. In 1992, she gave me a tract. She said, "Read this." I opened the tract up and read the truth about the gospel. And that year, I accepted that truth. The truth of Sunday school teachers, the truth of my future wife, the truth of this tract and God's word, I now know that truth. And we as Christians, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that truth, which unites us together. A bond that cannot be broken. A bond that is special. The world's crying out, "What is truth?" And we know the truth. And John is saying to the elder, the elect lady and the children, "I love you in truth. Not only I, but all of us who know the truth love one another." Secondly, he says this, we must walk. We must walk in the truth. Look at verse 4. "I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." I rejoice greatly. Great cheer. Some of your versions might say, "I was very glad." To hear or discover, to find out that some of your children are walking in truth. This word "some" doesn't mean some are saved, some weren't saved. It's referring to what he knew, what he's been told, what he's been discovered. He heard that it was some who were walking in truth. This term, walking in truth, refers to living in truth. You live every day God's truth. You speak God's truth. You act according to God's truth. People can see you know God's truth. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light," or in truth, "as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Are we people who live out the truth? Can we say like John, we rejoice greatly that we are ones who walk in truth? We're commanded through Scripture to walk different ways according to God's Word, to walk in the newness of life, to walk by faith, not by sight, to walk by the Spirit, to walk in good works, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which He's called us to. We're commanded to walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk in wisdom, to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls them into His own kingdom and glory. We're told, live out the truth. But do we do that? Warren Wiersbe says, it's much easier to study the truth, much easier to argue the truth, but how hard it is to practice the truth. And how do they do that? John describes it here, where he says, as we receive commandment from the Father. What was that commandment? It's found in verse 5. Now I plead or I urge with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which has been had from the beginning, here's the commandment, that we love one another. John is describing this lady, live out the truth, and the fruit of that living out the truth is to love one another. It was not a new commandment that he made up or discovered. It was reinforcing what she's been taught from the beginning. We love one another. A special love. Agape love. Sacrificial love. Love that gives not to receive. A love that has no boundaries. A love that is unique. A love, yes, involves emotion, but also a choice. I choose to put other people before myself. It says, live out the truth, and the fruit of that is how we love one another. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also one another. Jesus asks in the gospel, what is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your soul, for your mind, and for your strength. But the second commandment is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's fruit, it's evidence of one who belongs to him. Another look at this is to apply the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What does love look like? Let's paint some scenarios here. Someone you know is promoted, or someone you know succeeds in some way. Our selfish hearts at times go, I'm angry because that person is getting more than I think they deserve. Or I'm angry that they're succeeding up this corporate ladder. I think I deserve that more than they do. Or I'm angry that everyone seems to like that person more than me. Our selfish hearts want to pick on them or to find some fault in them. That's not living out the truth. If I live out the truth, walk by truth, then I love them. I put them first. And I treat them the way I want them to treat me. So if I want to succeed in life and succeeding, I don't want people to be angry at me. I don't want people to put me down. So I don't do it to them also. That is walking the truth. Or gossip. Sometimes church gossip goes around very quick. Why do we gossip? To put people down. So I can gossip at somebody and paint a picture, whether it's true or not true, that makes them inferior to me. That's not walking in truth. That's not loving in truth. If I love them, then I won't gossip about them. If I love them, I won't put them down. I will treat them the way I want them to treat me. When our marriages, in our relationships, people argue and fight and they dig in their heels. My way is the right way. I deserve this. I deserve that. That's not walking in truth. A husband puts his wife first. A wife puts her husband first. We treat people the way we want them to treat us. We come to church. Why do we come to church? Why are you here tonight? You might come with the attitude, what can I get out of church? I want church done the way I like it. If I don't like the way it's done, then I will complain. Get my point across. Not on doctrine, but on preferences. That's not walking the truth. Why do we come to church? We come to church, yes, to glorify God. Yes, to be encouraged by his word, but to love other people. Come to church to encourage people, to pray for people, to be there for people. We come here to love one another. That's why we're here at church. That's why church is like a family. That's why we weep when others weep and rejoice when others rejoice. John's saying to this lady, like lady, I plead to you, you know the new commandment you heard from the beginning. Love one another. And in verse 6 he says, you should walk in it, or you must live this way, or you must walk by it. Do we know truth? Do we live out the truth, which is loving one another? But thirdly, most serious for today, is we must abide or remain in truth. We must abide or remain in truth. Verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a antichrist. The word deceiver means wanderer. One who wanders away from the truth. The truth of the gospel. We live in a world today where there's many deceivers out there. They might teach 95% truth, but the last 5% they twist it and they turn it around and people follow their teachings. The Word of Faith movement has been around for a while now. Word of Faith movement are false teachers, false brethren. They teach falsehoods like, if you give God enough money, he will bless you with riches. No, as that's seen in scripture. Or you want to be healed? I can heal you. But if it doesn't work, it's not my fault, it's your lack of faith. And the world is listening to these lies. Deceivers, those who wander from the truth. Christians today are listening to lies. Christians today are believing these deceivers. We have many, many people who are rich through their lies. Who have billions of dollars. One person teaches, if you give me money, I'll give you special oil. And special oil will heal any problem you have. This guy has his own private jet. People fall for the lies. And John knew that. He says, you know the truth that unites us together. You live out the truth by the way you love one another. But be warned, there's those out there who don't belong. Those out there who would confess that Jesus Christ has not coming in the flesh. He says, they are a deceiver and an antichrist, or ones who are opposed to Christ. They're out there. They're real. Galatians 2:4 says, and this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came by stiff to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul called them false teachers. But how do we react to that? How do we deal with people who are false teachers? Well, John says in verse 8, he says, look to yourselves, or watch to yourselves, or be vigilant to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but we may receive a full reward. John has spent time with the elect lady, spent time with her children. He shared Christ with them, seen them grow. And John is saying, don't throw it all away because of the deceivers. He's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about losing your testimony. As you live in this culture, in this world, he says, if you don't look out or be vigilant or be careful and you fall for the deceiver's lies and what they teach, your testimony will be shot. Your testimony will be worthless and useless. And you'll lose all that work of sharing testimony at work or at home. You may not receive a full reward. Maturity. Don't lose what you have to follow the lies of these deceivers. He says in verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide or remain in doctrine of Christ does not have God. If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're not ones to follow. But he who abides or remains in doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet them. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Back in those days, hospitality was huge. You were supposed to be a lover of strangers. Someone knocked on your door, you allow them to your house and look after them. John says, don't let them into your door. Don't let them into your house. Don't invite them in. Do not receive them. Do not even greet them. Because if you greet them, if you bring them in, if you talk to them, if you listen to their ideas, you share in the evil deeds and evil works. Because others look at you and say, well, you're a Christian and you're like these people, you must accept what they believe. He says, reject them. Not greet them. Have nothing to do with them. Harsh words from the Apostle John. John has so much more to write. In verse 12 he says, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Why it's important to us tonight is this. The church, as you know it today, is getting smaller in some countries, bigger in other countries. Church in itself is struggling in many areas. We know in Australia it's hard to find pastors. Young men or older men willing to step out in faith to declare the truth. But we as a church must stand up as ones who are strong. Must stand up and declare, this is what God says. Let's not twist it or change it. Let's not say that's for that culture or that time of the world's history. No, truth is truth. Let's not be scared to share the truth. Yes, you'll face persecution. Yes, you'll face the loss of friendships. Maybe family members won't want to talk to you. But we know the truth that unites us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that is seen through the way we love one another, but remain that truth. Whatever you hear preach, go home and study it yourself. Study the scripture yourself. What that preacher's saying, is it true? Don't just say, oh yeah, they must know what's right and what's wrong. Or they've been to a certain Bible college, or it might be. No, you study the truth yourself. We have the Holy Spirit who illuminates or shows us God's word. Do we know the truth? Do we walk in truth? Do we remain in truth? We as a church have been called to be the light of the world, to be salt to the earth. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're citizens of heaven. But do we represent him well? Do I represent him well? Let's stand strong. Let's love the truth. Let's live out the truth. And be amazed what God can do. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this hard passage from the book of 2 John. Thank you for the love he had for this elect lady and her children. Thank you he loved them because they were sister in Christ. Thank you he loved them in truth. Thank you he rejoiced greatly when he heard that some of the children were walking in truth. Oh, how much that must please you when we as your children walk in truth. Thank you you open our eyes to understand truth. Open our eyes, understand that we were sinners, lost, destined for a place called hell. Yet for your love, and for your mercy and grace, you opened our eyes to see the truth. May we walk that truth every day, be in your word each morning. Pray that you open our eyes each day. In our workplaces, where we might be, may we show truth, speak truth, demonstrate truth. In this world's asking question, what is truth? But Father, we know the reality is this. In today's world, there's many deceivers out there. Many people twisting the truth. May we be Christians who stay strong, who know what is right and what is wrong. May we be that light, may we be that salt. May people see that we're different. Not because we're better than them anyway, but because we know the truth. Your Son declared, the truth will set us free. And indeed it has. And may we show that to others that we meet each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.